What a joy it is to gather together with those whom the Lord has purchased by the blood of His Son to worship Him this morning and to praise His name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for our prayer of petition. Father, we thank You for this morning. We acknowledge even now as we gather together to hear Your holy word, that without Your help, we cannot understand, that we need Your power to attain truth this morning. So, Lord, we pray for not only this church, but we pray for all churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, all the churches that are gathering together around the world, that the Word of God would be purely preached, that Your children would become equipped, that the lost would be found. Father, we pray for the Village Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You would call men, women, and children to Yourself this morning, that the pastors would rightly proclaim the Word of God. Father, we pray for more workers for the harvest, that even this morning, through the preached word all around the world, that You would raise up more men and women who are called into full-time service. That You would raise up men and women who understand for the very first time that the Great Commission is every single soul's responsibility. That we have the great privilege to go and to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if it be Your will, Lord, would You allow us opportunities to share the gospel this week? Would You allow us opportunities to see someone go from darkness to light and give us a great privilege to disciple them and to pour into them? We give You this time right now. Sharpen us. Encourage us. Spur us on. Show us sins that we've never seen before. Reveal areas where we need to mature. Reveal areas that we have delayed for too long in glorifying You. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray and ask all these things. Amen. If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the pastoral epistles about being faithful. Once you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's most holy word. I'll read 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. May God bless our time together. Please be seated. As I was reading these words this past week over and over and over again, it is difficult for my mind to fully comprehend all that Paul was presently experiencing at the writing of this letter. He's a prisoner of the Lord, being poured out as a drink offering, nearing his departure from this life, about to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, forever dwelling in his house. And Paul's condition during the writing of this letter was less than desirable. And yet what we hear is not about his bleak conditions, but his zeal for the Lord. Even though Paul is ready to meet the Lord, knowing that to die is gain, he has true love for Timothy and for the elect. He desires young Timothy to persevere after his race is personally over. We find that in verse 1. He says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He's saying, "My son, be strong. My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ." Paul wants Timothy to share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, and to have a pattern of sound teaching to guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to him. He wants him to be strong, not physically strong, but spiritually strong. And this strength is the grace that flows from Christ. The grace that flows from Christ. I do not know of one single father who desires their son to be physically weak. And the plea in this intimate letter is from a dying father for his spiritual son to be strong in the grace of Christ. To be strong in the grace of Christ. These words should be seen as priority for every child of God. We should long as a church to see other brothers and sisters in Christ strong in the grace of Christ. Amen? I mean, is that not what we want? Because it's not just for their sanctification. When other brothers and sisters are strong, that is going to have amazing benefit for you and for me. They're going to see things that we've never seen. They're going to encourage us and equip us. And by God's grace, we're going to encourage and equip other individuals as well. We should long as a church to see other brothers and sisters in Christ strong in the grace that is in Jesus. In this context, Paul desires the leadership of the Ephesian church to be strong. He desires Timothy, one of their elders, to be strong. Because spiritually weak pastors will produce weak sheep. That is one of the reasons why we have so many weak churches. And this season was a time for Paul to spur Timothy from timidity to boldness, because spiritually strong pastors will produce strong sheep. That is what they do. Think about Timothy. When you have a man who's been laboring day and night for 3 years for the glory of God and teaching a wayward church sound doctrine, he needed to be encouraged. Difficulties, frustrations, disappointments, these abound in any church. They multiply greatly in an unhealthy church. When men and women are confident that they believe truth, when in fact they believe a perversion of the truth, one thing is for certain: the strength of men and women will not produce anything that bears fruit for the Lord. But a man or woman strong in the grace of Christ, this will accomplish what seems helpless and hopeless. Our all-powerful God, he can accomplish infinitely more than what we can think or even imagine, according to Ephesians 3:20. Paul was pointing Timothy to rest in and preach the gospel, to remember his God-given gift, and to remember what was entrusted to him. The gospel that saved Timothy is what will save and change the lives of others. In times of suffering, it is easy to try to accomplish things in our own strength. And if we're honest, we've all tried it. Paul did not want this for young Timothy in the church in Ephesus. And we should not want this for each other here at Foundation. We need the unmatched and unwavering, perfect power of God that is found in the grace of Christ. This is to be our strength. And I'm so thankful for commentary. And the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 informs us in how to be strong. It says, Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, the strength of the might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." See, this is one thing I think where the church is losing its power. It's not that God is not powerful. It's the fact that we're so focused on what we can see with our eyes that we abandon the fact that there is a spiritual war going on right now, whether or not you and I acknowledge it. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. You got to love that. All circumstances. Not just when things are hard. With which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. See, truth is what holds our life together. When you and I are so consumed with entertainment, we so let go of truth. We must hold on to it. The righteousness of Christ protects our heart and soul. Shoes for our feet, the readiness to share the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, believing the Lord no matter what evil comes. The helmet of salvation, remembering in our minds, preaching the gospel to ourselves. This changes the outlook, especially in difficult seasons. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, our joy to read as well as the words that destroy the works of evil. Praying in the Spirit at all times. Being ready for what hills or valleys may come. The savoring of our Lord, as well as petitioning Him for His kingdom to come. See, Paul's words to Timothy here, my child, be strong by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is what he wants for his spiritual son. That's what he wants for every glorifying church. To be strong. In verse 2, we see that Paul moves from what Timothy is to be, strong in grace, to what he is to do, to ensure that he is not alone, that he is not the only one who is strong. He says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He says, entrust truth to others. One of the pictures that I've used many times is, can we just imagine what it would be like if an individual had the cure for cancer and they didn't tell anybody about it? And they just kept it to themselves. If they had the cure where they could go and they could give it all their research away and everything and it could just be done with. They could go into all the hospitals. What would you think about the individual who just kept it to himself? But if we have something that is greater than the cure for cancer, something that is greater than that, something that goes beyond this life but to the next, the gospel that changes an individual's life for eternity, what should we think if we don't share it? What should we think if we don't do anything with it? He's saying, entrust his truth to others. He said, Timothy, be faithful in preaching truth and be faithful to teach others to teach the truth. This is discipleship 101. Timothy, if you care about the kingdom of God, if you care about the local church in Ephesus, do as I did with you. Do as you saw me do in the presence of others. Multiply yourself. Entrust truth to others who will teach others the truth. And I've heard all the excuses. I don't know enough information. I've also heard the excuse, well, I'm going to wait for somebody to come and talk to me first before I can make a disciple. I've also heard the excuse, you know what? I've tried that so many times and it just didn't work. Okay, have you ever examined the life of Christ? Look at how many he poured into and how many were still with him. Disappointment. Individuals who didn't follow. Individuals who turned him in. Individuals who walked away, just give me my food so I can go on and do something else. Entrusting truth to others who will teach others the truth. Paul had modeled this for young Timothy, and now it was time for the baton to be passed to him and for Paul to step out of the race, so to speak, because he was nearing his death. This is the purpose of every child of God. Someone taught the truth of God to us, and we are to turn and teach others the truth of God with the expectation that they will go and teach others. For too long, we have gotten together with little holy groups, and we've poured into individuals with never an ending date for that group. We're just going to stay in that group until we die. When that's not discipleship. He says, get in that group and multiply. Get in that group, and at some point there is an end date. And you encourage and you spur one another on, but that little group ends. You step out and you go and you share the gospel with other people, and by God's grace, other people get saved and they come in, and then we pour into them, and then we teach them to go and do likewise. Pastors are to feed the flock the word of God. Teachers are to teach the word of God. Husbands are to bathe their wives in the word of God. Parents, you're to teach your children the word of God. Saints are to teach others the word of God. If this does not happen, who will be strong in the years to come? Who will stand firm? Who will persevere? The church in Ephesus at the time of this letter is the perfect example of what will happen to a church when truth is not taught. When truth is not taught in a church, something else will be taught that's not truth. William Barclay said, "The teacher is a link in the living chain which stretches unbroken from his present moment back to Jesus Christ. The glory of teaching is that it links the present with the earthly life of Jesus. Teaching truth is not to be a neglected grace. Teaching truth is not to be a neglected grace. I never hear people discussing their neglect of entertainment, their neglect from earning one more dollar, their neglect from going to sporting events, their neglect of free time, or their neglect of hobbies. But I see the neglect of loving and teaching the truth often, with excuses that run rampant. What Timothy heard from the Apostle Paul, he was to entrust to others. When we read God's holy word, we are not just entrusting it to ourself and guarding it and keeping it. We are to guard it and keep it. And in so doing, a part of entrusting it is passing it on. We will not entrust to others what is not guarded in our own life. If we don't guard the word of God, why would we care about passing it on? What does entrust mean? To set before, to set forth, to deposit, to explain and commit to a person's charge. Timothy was to entrust truth to not just the church, but to other men who would be able to teach others. Timothy was not to be a standalone elder who taught the word. He was to pour truth into men who were hungry and who desired and aspired to teach others the truth. As I sat with another brother in Christ this past week for lunch, this was our topic of discussion. He helps oversee individuals that are doing church plants, church revitalizations, church replants, as well as evangelism all throughout the state of Texas. And he said one of the major problems in our state is this: pastors are not multiplying themselves. They have so much struggle in their own church, no matter how sound they are in doctrine, that they come in and the church wants to gripe about every little thing, and then he is discouraged for the next 2.5 years that he's there, and after 2.5 years he's gone, and he's never made one disciple, never multiplied, never had time to pour into men because he's trying to put out all the fires. And that's why we have over 1,000 Southern Baptist churches closing every year in the state of Texas. Entrusting to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. See, find believing, faithful men. He's saying find them. Find men who will image Christ in their character, and who are gifted to teach, and set before them the word. Charge them to feast on the word and to go feed the word to others. Paul's words here are not sexist here by leaving women out. He's informing his brothers in Christ to train pastors. That is a context. Pastors who will shepherd churches, as well as pastors who will shepherd their own families. And there are many, countless single women and married women all over the globe that would say a hearty amen to this. We need more faithful men in church. Men who faithfully meet with God, and you know it by the way that they live. Men who faithfully study truth, and they intentionally teach others. Men who have a pattern of loving the Lord. See, what Paul understood and the other apostles and prophets understood, and what present-day mature Christians understand, is that truth changes lives in this life and for eternity. Truth is the most important thing. Let's get beyond philosophy. Let's get beyond man's mere opinion. Let's get beyond religion. I stand before you as a man who believes the Bible is inerrant, infallible. It's the absolute word of God breathed out. And this is what all on this planet need to hear. Biblical doctrine results in biblical living. We're like, well, that may not be the case. Well, it's not biblical then. Because it's just not knowing what the word of God says. It's applying what the word of God says to your life. Biblical doctrine results in biblical living. To know truth, words breathed out by God, to soak them in like a sponge, to savor them as you would a wonderful steak, to see the beauty of Christ, this will change a soul, and this soul will bear fruit for the Lord. Even if he's not doing it intentionally, there's going to be many moments because he loves the Lord that others are going to see his great love for the Lord. Just like children, when you think they're not listening when you're talking to them about Christ, they're listening. Just like when you think others aren't seeing your life, when you're struggling with sin, others are seeing your life and they're seeing that struggle and they're glorifying the Lord and they're learning from you. And trusting truth to others is leaving a legacy. Many people in the church, they leave legacy. Some, it's a legacy of a new building. For others, it's a legacy of possessions. Many leave a legacy of money or a legacy of debt. Or perhaps a legacy of memories and experiences. As God's children, we are responsible in leaving a legacy of entrusting truth to others. A legacy of being a man or woman who loves God and could not be silent in wanting others to know him as well. I would love to have that legacy whenever the Lord takes me home. That I wasn't known as an amazing husband, which I'm not, or an amazing father, which I'm not, or an amazing friend, but just a man who really cared about passing on truth because he had great love for the Lord. Paul is declaring to Timothy, pastors are to leave a legacy of preaching the word of God and entrusting truth to faithful men who will teach others also. So in the future, by God's grace, if we elect a plurality of elders here, think about that. It's what you must have. If you're married, I encourage you to ask your spouse some questions sometime today. Today. Because if you don't do it today, you won't do it tomorrow. Do it today concerning your life. If you're a widow or you're single, ask those who know you best. If you're a child, get out a sheet of paper and a pencil and write these questions down and ask your parents. Question one, if I were to die today, what would my present legacy be? If I were to die today, what would my present legacy be? Question two, do you see me as a lover of God, a lover of truth? Do you see me as a lover of God, a lover of truth? Question three, do you see me as an individual who multiplies truth in my life? Do I multiply truth in my life? We are all called to entrust truth to others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Now, Paul is painting a picture of understanding our new life and the reward that is to come. Verse 3 says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So Paul now gives Timothy three analogies for him as a pastor to meditate upon, and three analogies for the Ephesian church to think about. A soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. A soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. These three analogies are all pointing to a spiritually strong life and the reward that is to come. In verses 3 and 4, you have a soldier. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So a good soldier suffers. They are in a battle. There is a cost. A good soldier does not get entangled in civilian pursuits. You don't leave the battlefield to party while war is raging. They have a term for that. And it's not a good one. A good soldier does not get entangled in civilian pursuits. The aim of a good soldier is to please the one who enlisted him, his commander. A good soldier does not entangle his life with the pursuits of civilians. A good soldier has single-mindedness. What has the individual who is over me asked me to go and to do? And I'm going to do it. That is my cost. That is what I am to be serving in. Because if I don't do my job, it's not just my life at stake, it's another life at stake. How I wish we would think about that as a child of God more often. That if I don't fulfill my job as a child of God, how many other children of Christ am I going to affect? The spiritual meaning, if we are to please the Lord who made us his children, we are to know and remember that his children suffer. His children obey his commands. His children live to please him no matter the cost, no matter what we see in the lives of others and what they're foolishly pursuing. We are to have our minds upon the Lord because we have been enlisted by the Lord. There is never a time that we are not enlisted. We may honestly think that there are times that we can say, this is my time. No, you have no time. All of your time was once owned by Satan, and now all your time as a child of God is owned by God. You have no time. You've been enlisted, and we're always on duty. There's never a time that we are not enlisted. It is a joy and delight to serve and to fulfill our duty. Our mission is our life, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. In verse 5, he paints a picture of an athlete. By the way, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, these are three things that were very well recognized by all wherever you lived at the time. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So an athlete competes according to the rules, or there is no reward, you're disqualified. Spiritual meaning, if we are to please the Lord who made us his children, we're to live the life according to his words. So many, we try to say, well, God told me to do this, God told me to do this, or I felt led to do this. Great, if it lines up with God's word, hunky-dory, let's go do it. If it doesn't, you better beware. You are not 100% certain, and you have no guarantee that that was the Lord. It must line up with the word of God. His children obey his commands. His children live to please him no matter the cost. Our life is to image Christ. And this requires constant training, just like an athlete. Training in knowing the word, training in obeying the word. There is no reward for the one who does not cross the finish line. There is no reward for a fruitless life. The race must be run according to the word of God, and it must be run to the finish line. And let's just be honest, that finish line looks different for all of us. We've known individuals who have died young. We've known individuals who have died old. We know individuals who have passed away in a hospital, in a wreck, in something else. The finish line is different for all of us, but the treasure is all the same. His children persevere and his children run to the finish line. Some of them are going through hard and difficult seasons in their finish line. Some of them are going through amazing seasons in their finish line. You can think of men and women on both sides. You can think of those who have gone before us in history who were burned alive or drowned just because they said, the Bible is the word of God and I cannot stand anywhere else. A soldier, an athlete. In verse 6, a farmer. It is a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. The farmer who labors with wearisome effort will receive his reward at the first share of the crops. A farmer who does not work hard, he won't be a farmer very long. You must work hard as a farmer. Galatians chapter 6, I encourage you to write this down. Galatians 6, 6 through 10. He says, one who has taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due seasons we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, that is one mark that you can tell of a mature Christian and an unmature Christian. Many people, they have lots of knowledge and they have lots of intellect, and that's hunky-dory. I've met individuals who have memorized books of the Bible. I've actually had a pastor who said, his pastor that he worked for previously had the entire Bible memorized, and he worked on his sermon from the time that he left his office to the time he got to his pulpit, and that's all the prep time he ever needed. But if you notice what it says here, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. You can check out who the weak Christians are by the fact that they don't even have time for other brothers and sisters in Christ to spur them on in love. It's usually the ones that don't serve. It's usually the ones that aren't here much. It's usually the ones that just don't have time for everybody else, but they want to be recognized when they are here. That's easy. I'm not saying that. The Word of God says that. It says it's what you're supposed to be as a child of God. They're going to recognize you by the love that you have for one another. And even if you're not here much, or it's because of your health or different things, many have been said, I have been faithful to pray. Praise God, we need prayer. But if you're not here much, just because you don't want to be here much, you know who you are. And I'm telling you, we're hurting because of that. This whole church hurts because of that. We need everyone. The spiritual meaning of the farmer is if we are to please the Lord who made us his children, we are to work hard in this life. In this life to come, we will receive a great reward. Work hard. Keep reading. Keep praying. Keep studying. Keep applying. Keep fighting. Even in seasons when you don't get much crop. Even in seasons when you feel like, oh, this is going to be a great year, and you're going to labor intently, and you're going to lay everything down, and you're going to think this is the year, and you don't see a single thing. Keep working. Keep persevering. Keep looking to Christ. We keep fighting. Our reward is great and eternal. Our home is approaching. It is near. J.C. Ryle, in his book on holiness, said, I will never shrink from declaring my belief that there are no spiritual gains without pains. He said, I should as soon expect a farmer to prosper in business who contented himself with sowing his fields and never looking at them till harvest, as expect a believer to attain much holiness who was not diligent about his Bible reading, his prayers, and the use of his Sundays. Our God is a God who works by means, and he will never bless the soul of that man or woman who pretends to be so high and spiritual that he can get on without them. Spiritual gains without pains, that does not exist, dear brother and sister. In verse 7, he closes this section by saying, think over what I say, mull over it, ponder it, meditate upon it, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. See, that's the key. The Lord gives understanding to his children who think about what God has said. Many of the times we don't have understanding over things because we don't give God any of our time when it's compared to what we do for a living or compared to what excuses we have. Our time is very limited. Well, God, I got this small window for you. I hope you show up. I'm going to give you these few minutes. I know you created me. I know you made me in your image. I know that I'm here to glorify you, but my time is just really busy right now. I mean, you should know, you should look at my schedule. And God's saying, oh, I know. I've seen your schedule. I just don't find me anywhere. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. See, suffering for the gospel, difficulties, hardship, persecution, pain, this is the road for God's children. If you hear anything else, you need to run from that man or woman. We have been entrusted with the gospel. We are to be strong. We are to entrust truth to others for the short time that we have until we attain our wonderful reward, our great prize. Life with our Savior Christ in blissful heaven for eternity. That's our prize. Y'all ready? Here's some questions for you. Are you spiritually strong today? Are you spiritually strong today? If you are spiritually strong and you're saying, I'm spiritually strong, if you're not entrusting it to others, you're not spiritually strong. You must be entrusting it to others if you are going to say, I'm spiritually strong. If you're saying you're spiritually weak, then I encourage you to get into the Word and to stay in the Word. Get alone with the Lord. Have simplicity in your life. Have some silence in your life. Have some solitude in your life. Pull away. If you're a stay-at-home mom, like my wife, husband, you need to go to your wife. You need to ask her, honey, sometime in the next 6 months, you need to get away for at least a week. I'm going to take off work. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'll take over with the kids. I have to force my wife to do that because she doesn't want me to abandon my post here at church. But we all need it. It is much needed. You must have times of solitude, times of silence, time of getting alone with the Lord. Sometimes that's late at night. Sometimes that's getting up early in the morning. God will bless that time if you'll just set it aside. Are you obeying the Lord and remembering your reward? Many of us, we struggle because we're going through something difficult, something very hard, something that is painful, something that is crushing us, but we're not forgetting that home is on the horizon. We are almost there. We forget the reward that we already have, what Christ has already done in our life. That is enough to get us through anything. Because the gospel is the greatest thing not only to be shared, the gospel is the greatest thing that we can meditate upon and think about. So your answers to these questions will inform yourself of areas where you need to consider Jesus. Areas where you or I may be weary in right now. And believe me, there are areas that you and I are weary in. There are areas where you and I are tired. So let us be faithful children who are serving the Lord, and let us be faithful to entrust it with others, and let's be faithful to encourage one another on in this church to love and good works. Father, I thank you for this morning. How rich your word is. How rich it is. She would use a man in chains who is suffering, who knows he is about to die, to write a letter of encouragement, to spur on another pastor, to spur on other men and women to glorify the Lord. Father, I pray if that's ever true of me or of anyone else in this room, that we would have the faith that Paul did, And then our ultimate example, that your son would freely lay down his life, that even as he is hanging on a cross, he says, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I'm so quick to demand justice right now. I'm so quick to give my excuses to you, a holy God. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I pray for those right now who it's been a while that they've not entrusted the gospel with anyone. Lord, would that happen this week? For those who have failed to meet with you in the past 7 days, those who have just completely ignored the fact that you are God, those who have basically said, God, I'm going to do whatever I want. Lord, forgive us. May we get alone with you and realize who you are. May we understand your holiness and your love and your wrath and your justice more clearly. Father, I pray for the lost soul this morning. The one who thinks I'm good, but they've never trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. Lord, would you convict them of their sin? Would you draw them to yourself? May they repent and believe before they leave here today. Oh God, if we're going to be a faithful church, we need to remember that you are a faithful God. That you're a rock. Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for using me, a puny vessel. Father, may we remember your word. Do great and wonderful things through the preaching of your word, even in my life and every life here this morning. We ask this, we petition this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.